Hello, this is Sahar. I hope you enjoy listening to this podcast.
We're delighted to be able to speak to Penny Kelly, the joint owner of Lily Hill Farm and Learning Center in Southwest Michigan. Penny teaches a variety of classes and workshops on topics such as intuition, gardening, food, and nutrition. She maintains a large consulting practice that includes both spiritual and nutritional aspects. Penny writes poetry, raises chickens, milks cows, and grows organic vegetables and small fruits, and is the author of The Evolving Human, The Elves of Lily Hill Farm, Robes, A Book of Coming Changes, and From Soil to the Stomach. For some years, Penny has been involved in scientific research and investigations into consciousness at Pinelandia Laboratory near Ann Arbor, Michigan, and has been the subject of some research as well. Penny holds a degree in humanistic studies from Wayne State University, a degree in naturopathic medicine from Clayton College of Natural Health, and is currently working towards her PhD in nutrition from the American Holistic College of Nutrition. Penny is the mother of four children and runs Lily Hill Farm and Learning Center since 1987. Penny, a very warm welcome.
Welcome. It's good to be here.
Thank you. I'd like to discuss your first book, The Evolving Human, which is really about your story and what happens to perception and personal reality following a life-changing and spontaneous awakening of consciousness, known in the East as Kundalini. To our listeners who may not have heard the term, can you explain what exactly is Kundalini?
It's a very sudden awakening of consciousness and the ability within the brain following that to access a much greater range of frequencies and frequencies of information. So therefore you have access to a very wide range of information after Kundalini.
And from your experience, the Kundalini can vary from one individual, or what they experience can vary from one individual to another. Are there any common signs of Kundalini?
Oh, there's a whole bunch of them. I think probably one of the most difficult to deal with is that your body will begin to heat up. There'll be this kind of a ringing or roaring sound, and intense heat and intense pressure. My fear was always that I was going to burst into flame. I never did, but that was probably, you know, one of my major fears. Then, you know, other things happen as well. I think probably the precognitive side of things, you begin to see things before they happen, know what's going to happen. You enter into all kinds of psychic experiences, vivid dreams, out-of-body experience. And when I say that consciousness awakens, I literally mean that it awakens and you don't sleep. So there was a period of about 2.5 years where I did not sleep, and when I did sleep, I wouldn't be really asleep. I would be sort of hanging around the body wondering why I could hear this quiet, slow breathing and why I was wide awake sitting there or floating above it. And that was a very difficult thing. There were vivid dreams, altered states of perception, telepathy, clairvoyance, clairaudience, awareness of other lives, and then eventually, because it's so disturbing, my whole life collapsed.
That's amazing.
Yeah, it was a very, very difficult period. And, you know, when I look back, I'm not sure how I got through it, but I did.
And when it happens, does it all happen in one go, or was this over a period of time that you've experienced different levels of perception, let's say?
I think, the Kundalini itself comes and goes.
Right.
It isn't something that happens one time, usually.
Right.
And then stops. It opens, and then each time it opens a little bit further and a little bit more. So I've had experiences as recently as a year or two ago, and it just keeps going. And as it keeps going, you learn more and more about the nature of reality. So it's an interesting, makes for an interesting life, although certainly it wasn't what I planned.
Why is Kundalini experience valuable, or is there a greater purpose than just a wider consciousness?
Well, the human being is designed to evolve and is evolving constantly. And I think we're moving toward a condition that is known in the literature as the Christ mind.
Mm.
What isn't known in among a lot of circles is that it's a Christ mind God body, so there are changes in your perception.
And the physical body as well.
Right.
Mm.
And I think we have to all come to grips with that evolution eventually,
mm-hmm.
and the fact that we really aren't bodies. We're made of spirit, and spirit is these little bitty millions of intelligent lights all grouped together that create the body.
Mm. Would you say the body is really the vehicle that allows the spirit or the soul its expression in this lifetime in physicality?
Yes, I would. It does, although you don't need a body in order to express yourself spiritually. You already are a spiritual being.
Mm.
You're already expressing. That comes through. I've had a lot of experiences in other places.
Dimensions,
other
yes.
Dimensions, yeah.
Yeah.
And you really don't need a body.
You don't, but I mean to do with physical reality. I mean, if you're incarnate, you might as well take care
right.
of your body.
Exactly. Yes, and there's a whole area of research that I've been involved with that really focuses on the physical body.
Mm. Now, your life has gone through tremendous changes as the result of the Kundalini experience. Can you tell our listeners some of the more interesting things that Kundalini has allowed you to do?
There's a lot of them. I think probably the most useful is the ability to see or sense or know many levels of information. So that could be as practical as you're shopping for a car.
Mm.
Is this a good car for you? You're making a business deal. Is this, what is the outcome of this deal at 6 months, at 12 months, at 2 years, et cetera?
Mm.
There's a freedom to explore the nature of reality and the structure of the psyche itself.
Mm-hmm.
It was very helpful in raising my children because when they got to be teenagers,
that's interesting. Yeah.
I was able to keep an eye on them literally when they were not here and be aware of what they were doing.
Oh, that's
they
brilliant.
Didn't like.
Oh, that's amazing. Can anyone have a Kundalini experience, Penny?
Oh, yes. Yes, mine was spontaneous. I didn't know that such a thing existed or was possible, but you can work to evolve yourself. You can work to create that. The Kundalini experiences, once they begin, are generally not reversible. In other words, you can't go from not knowing to knowing back to not knowing.
Mm. You can't ignore it once it happens.
Right, right. Once it happens, you can't not know anymore.
Mm.
And it is a very life-changing experience. There's a whole world of energy and life out there, and it's very, very interesting to watch how people create their reality, because we do. Each one creates their reality.
Absolutely. Well, this sounds very intriguing, Penny. Would you come back and talk to us some more, perhaps, about the subject of your second book, The Elves of Lily Hill Farm?
Oh, I would love to.
That's wonderful. And for our listeners who would like more information on your books and your work, would you tell them what your website is?
Yes, it's www.lilyhillfarm.org.
Thank you.
It's one L in Lily.
One L in Lily.
Yes.
Well, thank you very much, Penny, and I look forward to speaking to you soon again.
Thank you.
Thank you.